Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity for us to continue to experience your sweet, sweet spirit. We thank you for the opportunity for us to share our tithes and offerings for the mission and ministry of your church. Be with us, Lord, as we listen to your preached word, and let us respond to your will and your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me call your attention to the scripture passage that was read to us from the Acts of the Apostles, from the book that was sent to Theopolis. If you have your Bibles, look at Acts chapter 1 and the very first verse, and you'll see that Luke is writing to Theopolis. And of course, he is the same person that he was writing to in Luke, the first chapter and the third verse. And so I want to share with you and just read from the second chapter, the 17th verse. Listen to these words. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to talk to you and share with you from the subject this morning, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. The coming of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have your sermon notes, the very first question that we have this morning is a good question. What is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? I'm glad you asked. In fact, I want to share with you a couple of citations because it is birthed out of the Old Testament as it relates to the Passover. The Passover, and we refer to it as our Easter celebration. It deals with the 50th, 50 days after Easter. But if you look at the Old Testament, and if you have your Bibles, look at Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and you'll read about the Feast of the Weeks. Then if you look at Exodus, the 34th chapter, you'll read as it relates the Feast of the Harvest. And then Numbers, the 23rd chapter, you'll read about the Feast of the Fruits. It was a celebration. The Jews would come together in a sense of celebration with their Passover meal. And it moves from, as it relates to the Bible making a shift to the New Testament and to Jesus sharing with all of his followers as it relates to the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus does that by preparing them for the Holy Spirit and sharing the purpose. If you have your Bibles, look at Acts, the first chapter, the 8th verse. Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for power from on high, and then you shall go forth and be my what? Witnesses. But here's a definition that you have right before you. The day of Pentecost is celebrated in the Christian church as the day on which the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, upon those believers, those disciples, those apostles. The Holy Spirit descended upon them. Now check this out. The world has taken over as it relates to the birth of Christ. We call it Christmas. They have taken over what we know as Easter, the resurrection of Christ, commercialization. They've taken over Christmas and Easter, but the world has not taken over, what we celebrate today, Pentecost. It belongs to the church. It belongs to the church. Amen? Amen? Pentecost is so important. Unlike Christmas, you won't see a Pentecostal tree. You won't receive a Pentecostal Hallmark card. You won't see gifts shared other than the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. As it relates to Easter, you don't have a Pentecostal bunny rabbit up here, do you? No. The church celebrates this day. And it's very important because it reminds us when God made his presence and made himself known to Moses. If you look at the screen on the bottom left, you have what? Fire. A burning bush. You remember Exodus? In the Exodus passage, Moses, as Joe Hamilton was sharing a few moments about Moses, Moses comes along and he goes and he gravitates towards a burning bush that would not what? Consume. And he noticed the fire would not consume. This is fire. We all know that, right? But fire, according to the Bible, is a representation of the presence of God. That's why acolytes come in the church. It's more than just a ritual. They come into the church and they light these candles. And these candles represent with the fire the presence of God. Now check this out. We have how many candles? Two. One represents Jesus' humanity and the other represents his divinity. And the fire represents the presence of God. You're dressed beautifully in red, and we thank you for doing that, and others probably didn't receive the information, but it's very important for us to remember that Pentecost belongs to the church. In fact, if you look at the dove is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Now, I must share this with you, and each time that I teach or preach about Pentecost, I'm going to share this with you. So if you say it's old news, that's fine. Pentecost, still to this day, is one of the divisive and debated topics among Christians. I'm not talking about people outside of Christianity. I'm talking about the family. Two-thirds of Christianity still deals with and wrestle, how do we interpret, how do we share as it relates to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Everyone have their different twists and turns and interpretation. In fact, it doesn't take long. All you have to do is read why we read and share and worship the creeds. The reason we share the creeds as it relates to the Apostle Creed and the Nicene Creed, because it was the Council of Nicaea who got together in 325 AD and they were trying to interpret, how do we share, how do we explain the coming of the Holy Spirit? How do we explain when we talk about Trinity, the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? And they came up with what we know as the Nicene Creed and the Apostle Creed. It helps share and shape our faith and know why we believe in what we believe. But oh, there's still controversy, because the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, draws a line in the sand as it relates to Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, you just name it, Protestants. Because we all have our various interpretations. You won't find a Pentecostal Catholic church. Hello. Hey, you won't find it. And so we celebrate and share the expression of the third person in the Holy Trinity in many different ways and many expressions. The Holy Spirit is not bound by our small interpretation or large interpretation. The Holy Spirit is present with us, and it continues to guide us and sustain us as well. The Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit helps convict. The Holy Spirit works on the altars of our hearts. Now, one of the main controversial points of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. If you don't believe that, you go find a Pentecostal relative. And they'll tell you that you're in the Methodist church and you're not speaking in tongues. But the Bible says in order to speak in tongues, you first must have someone who can interpret. And speaking in tongues, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with shouting. There's nothing wrong with clapping your hands, stomping your feet. But it doesn't fit all of us. Amen? I mean, we're wired differently. The majority of you are perhaps just like me. That's not what you do in worship. Amen? In fact, I want to share this, and I shared it at the last service. My grandmother had a profound influence upon my life and my spirituality and all of that. And many of you were familiar with her before she went home to the Lord on Valentine's Day 2 years ago. But she said this not only to me, but of course to several of my friends when we were together, because she said, if you're looking for a good young lady, go where? Some of you old school, you know that, don't you? Yeah, go to church. She was right, I found her. Been married to her for 33 years, amen. Yeah, that worked out. That worked out pretty good. That worked out pretty good. But what I want to share with you, when we were going around various churches and sharing, there's a good friend of mine, and Superintendent Taker knows him extremely well. His name is George Butts. He preached here about probably 2 years ago on a Holy Thursday service. George Butts comes from the Pentecostal church. That's my guy. George Butts and I have been friends ever since we were just toddlers running around, even in diapers. We're still good friends. George Butts' grandfather was Bishop Butts. Bishop Butts would have people to come to church, and I used to go to church with him as well. But guess where I was seated in church? In the back. In the back. Why? What's a good reason? I was glad to be in church because that's the only time I could really go out at night. I mean, you know, I was raised old school. Hello. Yeah, let's just keep it real. But I would be seated in the back, and I would notice that they would call people to the altar. If you've ever been in a Pentecostal church and you haven't, you need to go check it out. And they would call people to the altar, and Bishop Butts would take some oil, and he would anoint people with oil, and then he'd place his hand on their forehead, and guess what happened? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. They would fall out. Well, one day they asked me, are you going to go up to the altar? No, that's not for me. Yeah. And many of you probably would have said that as well. That's not how I express my worship. Nothing's wrong with it, but that's not me. The Holy Spirit allows us to be ourselves. And the Holy Spirit works within us to help manifest what God wants to be with our best self. In fact, we celebrate Pentecost because we revisit. We revisit. In fact, look at this next point here on the screen. Pentecost is a time to revisit what it means to be faithful to our core value and mission. Our core values and mission. It reminds us that we have been called by God to go forth and share the good news. Now, if you don't believe that, if you have your Bibles, let me help you out. Look at Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is preparing the disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit. You look at Acts chapter 1 and you'll see that he's preparing them for the coming of the Holy Spirit, but he goes a little further. He is also giving them the purpose of the Holy Spirit to empower them to go forth and to witness. Not for their own self-gratification or self-glory, but to witness about the good news. Then you look at Acts chapter 2, our text for this morning. In Acts chapter 2, the presence of the Holy Spirit comes. It was like a wind blowing. It was like tongues of what? Fire. That fell upon all the believers, that descended upon all the believers. The Holy Spirit is prepared. The Holy Spirit has a purpose. The Holy Spirit has a presence. Then the Holy Spirit helped with the proclamation of the good news. Now, you don't believe that? Look closely. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is sharing. He's sharing his Pentecostal sermon. He's sharing that sermon so passionately that thousands of people, the Bible says, over 3,000 people came and accepted Christ. Not only is the Holy Spirit prepared, not only is the Holy Spirit giving us purpose, not only does the Holy Spirit come in our presence and help proclaim the gospel, it wasn't until you get to Acts chapter 3 that you'll see the Holy Spirit has power. Look to your neighbor and say power. Yeah, dunamis, power. Because the byproduct of the Holy Spirit coming is what we're in now, the church. The church, the ecclesia. But the church has been called out to go forth and to witness. When the church first expressed and manifested itself in power, it was not in the church. It was on the outside. If you have your Bibles, look very quickly at Acts chapter 3. There was a man who was lame from his birth. He was lame. And he was doing what at the temple door? Begging for money, for substance, from the people who were going to the synagogue, to the temple, to the church, to the house of worship. Perhaps you've seen them. I know I've seen them. You're driving, and you had a traffic light, and you look to your right or to your left, and there's someone with a sign and a cup, and what do? Look straight ahead. Peter and John didn't do that. Peter and John said in Acts chapter 3, silver and gold have I none, but such that I have, I'll give it to you. In the name of Jesus, they helped him up. Rise up and walk. The Holy Spirit will use us if we allow ourselves to be used. I want to share this story with you. It's a great story. It comes from the book Every New Day from the Dutch by the name of Cor ten Boom. Cor ten Boom was a great author. In fact, it was in 1971. There's a book, and it eventually became a movie as it relates to the Hidden Places. She shares, and allow me to just share this with you as well. She shares about a story of a woodpecker who continues to tap with his beak against the tree. Just as he was tapping his beak against the tree, you see that lightning? Lightning struck the tree. And guess what this woodpecker said? I didn't know that there was so much power in my beak. Yeah. Took credit. Cor ten Boom continues to write, when we bring the gospel to people, there's a danger that we will think or say, I've done a good job. She says, don't be silly like a woodpecker. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be silly like a woodpecker. Yeah. She continues, know where your strength comes from. It is only the Holy Spirit who can make a message good and fruitful. It's a clear reminder for me, as well as anyone else who shares in ministry, regardless if we're preaching or singing or sharing, it reminds us, don't be lifted up in pride saying, man, I made them stand up this morning. I made them shout. I made them clap hands. They probably wasn't clapping hands or shouting until I got here. It's about the Holy Spirit doing his job. Not a believer who have accepted Christ can live, can move, can minister without the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's just like a television that's on, but no remote control. Or it's like you're going out in the parking lot and you have your car out in the parking lot, but you don't have any gas. You're not going anywhere. If you don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit, how many of you have your cell phones? Just raise them up. Where my balcony? You? Yeah, look at that. Boy, they quick. Good Lord. Man, y'all. Let me do that again. Show me your cell phone. Look at all those cell phones. All right. You're not texting while I'm preaching, right? All right. Yeah, it's like having a cell phone and not having a battery. You can't connect with the world. The Holy Spirit wants us to connect with God. He comes as that third person in order to move upon the altars of our hearts, not based upon our abilities. Why? Because if you look at Acts chapter 2 and the fourth verse, I want you to help me. It's on the screen. Here it is. Let's read it together. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Just like Kathy shared so beautifully in the children's message. This was a diverse audience. You could just look at it just like you're looking at our church here today. And they came from every part and they were able to speak in their own tongues, their own languages. the Holy Spirit will move upon the altars of your heart. Don't be like a silly woodpecker saying it's all about me. Now, the next point is this point. The Holy Spirit, if you want to fill in the blanks in your sermon notes as I get ready to close, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. Others may not convict us, but the Holy Spirit, if we're connected with God, should convict us of our sins. But I'm so grateful this morning. After reading Romans, it reminds me, while we were yet sinners, Jesus loved us. He was willing to die on a cross for you and me and to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose the third day to save us. The Holy Spirit is our hope and love. In this day and time in which we live, we need hope and love. And then lastly, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Our comforter. Miss Janice, the Holy Spirit is going to comfort you. If you've ever been there, if you ever lost a loved one, the Holy Spirit, when family members and friends are gone and church members, the Holy Spirit will come right along with you and be a paraclete. He'll come alongside of you and walk with you and talk with you along the way. As I'm closing, I want to share with you, it's hard to preach in this atmosphere and see all of this stuff for VBS without addressing the elephant in the room. Yeah, you can't overlook it. You can't overlook it. I want to share with you, as it relates to the United Methodist Church in 1992, the United Methodist Church created a university known as Africa University. And African University is in Zimbabwe, Africa. And in 1994, they had the major dedication, and they invited the United States campus ministers to come, and I was a campus minister at that time at Florida A&M. And we had went over to Africa, to Zimbabwe, and one of the questions, and it's in your sermon notes, is this question. Should you feed wild animals? You know the answer to that question? No. No. And they told us, don't feed the wild animals. Wild animals are not to consume human food. Same food we eat. No, don't give it to the animals. And be careful, because if you start giving to the animals, you know, we're Americans, we thought we, you know, had more intellect. If you start giving to the animals, they're going to become your friends. In fact, you might be part of what they plan to eat later on. So we are out in the safari. And living out in the safari, they don't have the conveniences like we have. They had a little plastic sliding glass window in our rooms. And it was another preacher that I was there with, another campus minister. His name was Felter, Luther Felter. Luther and I had never met before, but we made an agreement. And Ray, our agreement was to get all the furniture in the room, except the bed, and we placed it right in front of the sliding glass door to give us a chance, just in case, because the wildlife, they come and they, you know, they start tapping at night at your door. And we did that in order to give us a chance to see who would get out first and who would be there for supper. Yeah. And while there, and I'm just going to talk about two animals. While there, we were able to see, what is this? Giraffe. One of the great things about a giraffe has self-acceptance and self-love. A giraffe is not depending upon any of the other animals to say, hey, I love you. The giraffe has self-love and self-acceptance, not basing his life upon the acceptance of others accepting him, but has self-acceptance. Now, one thing about a giraffe, even with all of that, and that's good, the giraffe has the highest high blood pressure among all the animals. But a giraffe doesn't get enough sleep. It only gets about 30 minutes, you Google it, it only receives about 30 minutes of sleep because it stays alert. As Christians, we should have self-acceptance, self-love, because we know with our Bible, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We should be on alert, on guard, because the devil roams like a roaring lion, seeing whom he can trip up. But then the elephant, as I get ready to close and the praise band is coming back, the elephant. The elephant is a symbol of strength. If I have any Delta sorority sisters, you know the elephant is a symbol of strength, power, wisdom, and something I'm working on, patience. Some of you just like me, amen. But the elephant continues to make a sound with his loud trunk, his trumpet. And that sound is to make harmony among all the animals. God wants to use us. The Holy Spirit wants to empower us. The Holy Spirit wants us to be patient. The Holy Spirit wants us to bring honor and glory. Not like the woodpecker, but bring it based upon the Holy Spirit using us. In Jesus' name, open up the heavens. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Won't you stand as we sing our closing song? And Sydney is coming as our acolyte.